You know the format of Inside the Law. Each week we take you, the listener, inside the law to learn about an issue or topic of interest, hopefully at least. And we kind of draw those topics from what our clients tell us they like to hear. Our clients are the clients of the law firm Novian Associates. We are a Monmouth and Ocean County boutique law firm, which does not mean we sell dresses. It means that we specialize in one particular area of law, often called elder law or trust and estate planning. That area of law includes asset protection, Medicaid planning, guardianship, as well as trust and estate planning, trust and estate administration, and trust and estate litigation. In that practice of law, we run into a lot of seniors, very senior-centric, so to speak, practice of law. And because we have such a senior-heavy client base, we often get questions, really questions that I can't answer, not necessarily about Medicaid planning, which we do, but actually about Medicare, a related but separate federal program. And so today's topic is called the Medicare changes and the Affordable Care Act, at-home medical care, what is and what is not covered. And our guest today is Pat Fratangelo from RAND Surgical. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, sir.
Pat is a local businessman, has been at RAND Surgical and has been owned in his family since when, Pat?
Since 1983.
Since 1983, okay. And Pat's been there since he got out of the military in 1987.
Yes, sir.
Pat, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
RAND Surgical is located at 1843 Hooper Avenue here in Toms River, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And has been in Toms River or in Ocean County for a long time, right, Pat?
Well, the store itself has been there since 1959, but my family's owned it since 1983.
So a long time Ocean County business. Even if you look at the most recent owner, still over 30 years of ownership in the same location. RAND Surgical, I'm going to repeat this throughout the show, so if you're a caller out there and you like what Pat has to say and the services they provide, which I trust you will, I do want to give you an idea of how to get in touch with him during the week. So I'm going to start with the phone number, which is 732-255-3211. Again, 732-255-3211, and that's 9 to 5 on weekdays as well as 10 to 4 on Saturdays. And again, at 1843 Hooper Ave. Everybody knows where Hooper Ave is if you're from Ocean or Monmouth County. So the idea of today's show is to try to walk through for you guys as our audience out there, first of all, you know, what the state of Medicare is when it comes to, you know, some of the changes that have come down the pike with the Affordable Care Act, ACA we call it, and how that affects what Pat does and what RAND Surgical can provide under Medicare versus paying out of pocket and some of the pros and cons of those sorts of things. If you have any questions for me or for Pat during today's show, I do encourage you to pick up the phone and give us a ring at 732-505-1160. That is our call-in line. Again, that's 732-505-1160. And our sound engineer today is Lauren. She'll be happy to take your call and put it through to me. If you have questions that you don't want to ask on air, I understand, you know, sometimes people are a little embarrassed to ask about, you know, their own compression stockings on air or something like that. So feel free to give either Pat or I a call during the week. I gave you Pat's number again at 732-255-3211. Novian Associates is 732-657-0600. So without further ado, I want to start, you know, by talking about the difference between Medicare and Medicaid real quickly, because I know that those two words confuse people, and I think it's affected your business over the last decade or so, Pat.
Oh, very much so.
Medicaid is a needs-based program, and that's probably the most important aspect that people should remember. A needs-based program that helps pay for long-term care, both medical and non-medical, if a person qualifies under the needs testing that we get from the federal government, which itself has changed over the years. And in fact, New Jersey has recently changed the guidelines for their own needs-based testing. That's not really what we're going to talk about too much today. What we're going to focus more on is Medicare, And I always tell clients that I wish President Johnson in 1965 had named them something a little bit. He could have gone AstroCare and Medicaid, and then it wouldn't have been so easy for everybody to confuse them because they sound so similar, but they are different programs.
Well, I think the best thing to do is tell people that Medicare is a federal program, whereas Medicaid is a state-based program.
Well, they're both federal programs, but the state really runs Medicaid.
Right,
absolutely,
right.
That's true. And Medicare is much more federal and is also applies to a lot more people.
Yes,
because
definitely.
It's age-based or disability-based. Good example is Warren Buffett, right? Warren Buffett is, the third richest person in the world, and he's eligible for Medicare because he's American citizen who's old enough. So he would never qualify for Medicaid, though.
You don't want to start getting into the political aspect of, means-tested
sure.
Medicare,
well,
which
there's
is another, that's another whole subject.
There's a whole big political aspect to that. Not that there's not to Medicare as well, but even more so for Medicaid. So we're going to focus on Medicare. And I want to know, just give me a little bit of an overview, Pat, of what you guys do. People probably, maybe if they've been to a surgical supply store, they have an idea. But I think there's probably a little more to it than meets the eye. So tell me, what does RAND Surgical do? You know, give me an idea of what you sell, and then we'll go back from peel back the onion from there.
Most everything that we do in my store these days is to assist people in their daily living. Okay, now whether that means they have some type of physical disability or some type of access disability in their home, most of it has to do with just being able to help people help themselves. And in a lot of cases, most of the products that I sell aren't even for the patient. It's for the people trying to take care of the patient.
To make it easier to take care of them.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, just trying to assist them with the most simple things, with having to do with the bathroom in a lot of cases.
Sure.
Or, in the house or in the kitchen. Essentially, most of it has to do with durable medical equipment, whether we're talking about hospital beds or wheelchairs or walkers,
mm-hmm.
Surgical supplies, urological supplies, diabetic supplies, ostomy supplies. There are a lot of different components. We do a lot of orthopedic products. We do some power mobility, but that's also a subject that is very confusing right now, and we'll talk about that as we're
okay.
going along here.
That's a good overview. I like the way you pointed out that it's, and I think this is important for our listeners out there because they might tune in and say, oh, this doesn't apply to me. I don't need any of that stuff. But the fact that a lot of the things that, come through a RAND Surgical that Medicare may or may not help with, we'll talk about that, that they're not really for the patient as much as they are for sometimes the care providers to make it easier to provide that care.
Very much so.
And we see in our office at Novi and Associates, we see the stress that aging can place on a couple, on a family, especially if they don't have good resources at their fingertips to learn how to make it easier. And sometimes we see that it's, somebody's disability, somebody's sickness, somebody's advanced age and lack of mobility can actually be a bigger stress on those around them than on them themselves.
Oh, there's no doubt. I see every day, especially an elderly couple,
mm-hmm.
Where one has some type of physical abnormality and they can't get up out of a chair, and the other one who is healthy
right.
ends up hurting themselves trying to help them.
And
that happens all the time.
And that's exactly what I was getting at, the frequency of injury to a care provider. Physically, absolutely. And then sometimes we see it on the mental side, people who after years of providing stressful care, things that are difficult to do. I hear a lot about, bathing and things like that, how difficult, how scared they are that they're going to make a mistake and it's going to be their husband or their wife who gets injured because they couldn't do what they wanted to be able to do. The stress that causes, sometimes you even see it where the care provider winds up sick themselves or, God forbid, dying themselves before the loved one who was the one who needed the assistance.
It's actually astounding how often that happens.
Yeah, very, very frequent. So keep that in mind if you're listening out there, that you don't have to be the immobile person yourself. Someday you could be the care provider, and you might want to think about some of the things that we're going to talk about today. And could I get some help? Could my life be easier as the care provider, not just as a person who needs the item itself or who needs the assistance itself? So I think most of our audience, especially the seniors in our audience, probably know a little bit about Medicare and how that works when they go to the doctor's office and how that works when they go to the pharmacy and how that works if they have to go to a hospital or a rehab facility. But tell me a little bit about Medicare as it applies to what you sell and what you do, Pat, and especially about maybe some of the changes before and after the Affordable Care Act. So give me an idea.
Well, I think the first thing we really need to talk about is a new program that began in July of 2013 called competitive bidding.
Competitive bidding.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's something that most of the senior population has not really heard of or even understands what's happened. Mm-hmm. And the funny part is this has nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act. This was actually born out of the 2003 Medicare Modernization Act.
Okay, so it's even older than that.
It's even older than that. And basically, that's the same piece of legislation that began the Medicare Part D prescription drug program.
Which a lot of seniors are now familiar with
at
this point. Yeah.
Which was enacted in 2005, but the legislation was written in 2003. And of course, like any piece of large legislation, it slowly rolls out over time. You know, basically that's what happened. The competitive bidding aspect of what we're going to talk about now actually began in that piece of legislation. So a lot of the things that are happening with the ACA, which is today's piece of legislation, really haven't rolled out to the seniors just yet, but it's coming. You know, things are going to be changing in the next few years, and it's very difficult to say what's going to happen. We're just going to have to sort of watch and go along and see what happens.
We know that there's going to be change, but predicting it is very difficult.
We talked
a little bit about that off the air because of how dense the legislation really, but especially in this case, you probably heard how dense the Affordable Care Act is, and people don't know how it's going to impact really any of the key areas that it was meant to address, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully it was the best intentions, but
how it plays out, you never know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us about competitive bidding and how that affects what you do, you know, bringing the legislation to life, if you will, for our audience.
Competitive bidding was actually the brainchild of Teddy Kennedy.
Okay.
He was actually the one that started the whole thing. But anyway, the way it basically works is competitive bidding has to do with 8 different product categories in the durable medical equipment sphere. Okay.
So 8 different product categories within what RAND Surgical sells.
Right, exactly. And you know, you basically have oxygen, you have power mobility, you have hospital beds, you have walkers, you have wheelchairs, you have enteral feeding, which is when you have a feeding tube, for instance. These are basically the product categories that now, in today's world, if you go to the doctor and say you need a prescription for a walker, well, now the process is that you now have to take that prescription and you have to call 1-800-MEDICARE to find out where you're allowed to get that from, because basically they have this closed network of providers, so you don't have the choice of going where you want anymore. Now, that's just for these 8 different product categories. There are a lot of other surgical products that you can come to me for, but in those particular cases, I'm sort of like the Obamacare navigator. All day long, I take phone calls at the store, people asking me, what do I do? Where do I go? Who do I have to call? You know, and I basically just try to tell them how you have to kind of get through the realm of what's happening.
And who you call, is that the supplier that won some sort of competitive bidding process?
Correct. And every single product category has different providers. So hypothetically, let's say if you're getting out of the hospital and you need a hospital bed and a wheelchair and a walker, those 3 pieces of equipment, you could literally be getting it from 3 different suppliers.
Because different suppliers won the bidding process
for
each
individual category.
Okay.
Right. It's very complex, very convoluted. All I can really do from my standpoint is to try to direct people where they have to go and the process they have to go through. Now, because this is what's happening, of course, most seniors don't know this has already happened. You've already had your choices taken away. You just didn't know it. You know, and again, like I said, this began in July of 2013. So essentially what we have to do now is, depending on what the person's particular needs are, we have to sort of, like I said, go through this process that the government has now set up. I think this is sort of a precursor, too, to what to expect as we go on through the ACA as far as your choices are concerned, whether it's hospitals, physicians, whatever your medical needs are. I think you're going to have a lot more programs like this where they're going to decide, well, it's going to be a narrow network of providers, and we're going to decide who you can see, when you can see them, what you get. You know, and that's kind of where I believe we're headed. But as it stands right now, competitive bidding is in play. This is going on today, okay? And, you know, it's something that most people are just not aware of.
Right. And Is that a service you, let me put it this way, enjoy providing, or you do it as a benefit just to the, almost like a community benefit and hope that people will remember that you steered them in the right direction when they need something that's not Medicare
coverage? It's really sort of become like a public relations thing for me. Okay. I mean, I've been around a long time and a lot of people know me, so, you know, I've earned a lot of trust out there. And so when they run into these issues and this chaos, you know, they'll come to me.
Okay.
You know, and I, like I said, I do my best to direct them, but I do try to make people understand that sometimes you don't have to jump through all these hoops.
Right.
Okay. You know, sometimes you want to sit down and kind of decide, is it really worth going through all of this for, say, a $90 walker,
right,
you know, or a hospital bed that you might only need for a month or two during this particular medical crisis. You know, most of these programs are set up for long-term issues, you know, but say, for instance, you just, you know, you had a hip operation and you may be laid up for just a month or two, you'd probably be better off actually just going and renting a hospital bed, which is only like $125 a month for a full electric hospital bed, instead of going through Medicare where they rent it for a 13-month period.
Okay.
So at the end of that time, you own it, or if for any other reason you don't need it anymore, then it goes back to the original supplier, and that still is in play even with competitive bidding.
Okay.
So sometimes you really have to sit down and decide, well, financially and stress-wise, you know, is it easier just let me take care of this thing in the simplest terms, or do I want to go through this whole process?
Right, what an economist would call cost-benefit analysis. How much are you actually saving, and what benefit are you getting for that savings?
Right, exactly.
So some people it might be worth, it may cost you a little extra, but compared to the process you don't have to go through, it might be well worth the dollar spent, so to speak.
Right, okay. Absolutely. I mean, you know, again, if you have to go through this process, you have to go through their timeline, whereas, you know, I like to try to be the Johnny on the spot type of guy where when somebody calls me, bang, I'm there within an hour. That's it.
Okay. Now, let's talk big picture a second. You mentioned Medicare Part D and how that changed, and I think a lot of our listeners are probably familiar with that. Run me through A, B, C, D, and talk to me about how each part might affect your business. Maybe it's that only one of them does, but you know more than me on this. So.
Well, basically, Medicare has the four parts, A, B, C, and D. Now, Medicare Part A, of course, is your hospitalization. Medicare Part B is your physicians and ancillary providers. I would be considered an ancillary provider for durable medical equipment. You know, you'd also have like MRI shops or physical therapists. Those are all under Medicare Part B. Then you have Medicare Part C, which is the Medicare Advantage Plan, which is the HMOs, or HMO Medicare.
Okay.
And then Medicare Part D, which is prescription drugs.
Okay.
I think it gets real confusing with the Medicare Part C, which is the Advantage Plan, because a lot of these companies that have these Medicare Advantage plans, they leave Medicare in their title. You know, like you have the United Healthcare's AARP Medicare options. You have Horizon Medicare Blue. You have Geisinger Medicare. You know, so a lot of people believe they're still on regular Medicare when they're actually on an HMO.
Okay.
And it gets very confusing. And a lot of people choose those plans because of a price point, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think, well, hey, I'll be saving money here. But what they don't realize, of course, is that they're limiting their choices.
Right.
And that's kind of what these HMOs are all about. I know there's a lot of people out there who have got into their physician's offices, especially over the last few years, and seen signs up saying, we no longer take X plan, or now you have to pay up front.
Right.
And, you know, that these are the changes that are kind of coming along here with healthcare.
And so I think you've mentioned it a couple of times, the overall shift and the takeaway for our audience is probably to keep in mind that you have a reduction of choices that's really started in 2003 and only looks like it's going to continue.
Right.
And as you realize that that your options have been reduced, one thing to look at is that cost-benefit analysis and say, do I want to go with this one option, the only one I'm allowed with, and have Medicare involved in paying for some of it, or do I want to private pay, basically, especially for things that aren't that expensive to begin with, and have more options and be able to work with somebody like Pat across the board for things like that, and have, you know, have the ability to price shop to a certain extent, to see what, you know, the item is going to be before you buy it and decide if, in fact, you want to pay for it out of pocket or whether you want to go with something else, options you don't have.
Think that's exactly where I believe healthcare is going right now, is the fact that we essentially already have a two-tiered system, as it were, okay? But I believe that as time goes on here and more people are squeezed out of their options, I think you're going to have this private network sort of rise, you know, in competition with this huge public government conglomerate that we're dealing with right now. I believe that there's going to be more physicians that are going to be basically saying, you know, you're going to have to pay me X amount of dollars per month, what they're referring to as concierge medicine. I guess in a funny kind of way, that's sort of where I'm going to, more like a concierge service for durable medical equipment versus going through the government.
Right.
You know, and I think that's where more things are going to kind of go. And I think people are just going to get a little tired of, you know, not being able to choose what they want and when they want it. You know, we're supposedly still in America, and we like to think we still have those choices.
That's
but
right.
So much has been taken away, and people just don't know it till you actually go to access it.
Right, and then they find out the hard way. The hard way,
right.
Lauren, I think we have a caller. Good morning, Jack. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you? I'm great. How are you?
Good. Well, you have a question for us? Is it on topic or something you wanted to run by us?
I think it's on topic. I was hoping if you guys could take a minute to explain the difference between Medicare and Medicaid Advantage Plan.
Advantage Plan. Okay, Pat just touched on that a little bit. We'll peel back the onion for you. Pat, you want to take the difference between those two?
Well, okay, so you're talking about what would be referred to as a dual eligible person, okay? Medicare Advantage is the Medicare HMO, and then, of course, you have New Jersey State Medicaid, which also has their own HMOs. So basically, I guess the difference would be that for the state of New Jersey, there are five different HMOs to choose from. I can touch on a few of them. I know one's called Amerigroup, one's called United Healthcare, one's called Horizon New Jersey Health, and I believe there are two others. I don't even remember their names anymore. But essentially, those are the plans that most of the Medicaid and disabled population were sort of put into basically back in 2010 or 2011. It was Christie that decided that they were going to move the entire population into these Medicaid HMOs.
HMOs, right.
Yeah. But the Medicare HMOs, obviously, are the federal plan, mostly for the senior population. Okay. So, again, we try to make the distinction that one is federal and one is state, even though both are run by the federal government.
That makes sense to you, Jack?
Yes, it does.
Okay. It is a confusing area because they both have that word advantage in it and they're both HMOs, but I think Pat's pointed out the difference. And keep in mind those Medicaid, even though it's Medicaid HMOs now, they still have that needs-based qualification testing where the Medicare side doesn't.
Right, and one definitely big point that you have to make with the Medicaid HMOs, the state Medicaid HMOs, is those have a very limited network of providers. You know, you basically don't really have a choice. You have to go to whoever they tell. Like, for instance, with the Medicaid HM or Medicaid state, for instance, one product that we used to supply a lot of under the Medicaid program was incontinence products, diapers and underpads and gloves and things like that. And, you know, we saw a lot of that, especially in the community-based homes throughout the county. And essentially what happened was is when the HMOs took over, you basically had, you know, you had a group home that, say, had 10 people in it, and maybe three of them were on Amerigroup, three of them were on Horizon New Jersey Health, three of them were on United Healthcare, and they literally had to start getting their supplies from all these different suppliers. In a couple of cases, it was out-of-state suppliers, which I found really offensive because, you know, this is the state of New Jersey.
Right.
You know, we should be using New Jersey suppliers here,
sure.
But, of course, that's not what happened.
Ugh, okay. Does that answer your question, Jack? Hopefully.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great Saturday.
You too. Enjoy.
Thanks for calling. I just want to remind everybody out there that you are listening to a live show here at Inside the Law on 1160 WOBM in Ocean County and on 1310 AM in Monmouth County, as well as all over the globe, I guess, on WOBMAM.com. We are talking about at-home medical care and what's covered and how it's covered and some of the changes that have occurred in the federal and state legislation, most especially Medicare changes, the Affordable Care Act, and so forth. And our guest today is Pat Fratangelo from Rand Surgical here in Toms River, New Jersey. If you have any questions for us while we're on the air like Jack did, feel free to give us a call at 732-505-1160. Again, 732-505-1160. Or if you have questions for us off the air, you can reach Pat at Rand Surgical at 732-255-3211. Again, 732-255-3211. 9 to 5 all weekdays and 10 to 4 on Saturdays. If you have a question for me, Attorney Jason Wyatt, or any of the other attorneys at Novian Associates, you can always give us a ring as well at 732-657-0600. We also have a website that has a wealth of information on it, and eventually we'll have this radio show available to be re-listened to, so to speak. And that's www.novylaw.com, N-O-V-Y as in Yankees, law.com. I always do that shout-out for my grandfather, a big Yankees fan out there. and you can email us at info@novylaw.com if you have any questions or anything like that. I do encourage everybody to look at the website because it's a nice way to go peruse, you know, a wealth of information, past radio shows. We have write-ups so that you can see some of the bullet points of what we talked about maybe before you give an hour of your time to listen to it. So we'll eventually have a write-up with the bullet point of what Pat and I talked about today. So it's a nice way to have a library of information at your fingertips in case you miss a portion or all of a show. And we are on every other Saturday. And I want to plug the next show, which will be on Saturday the 31st, when Mr. Robert Novy will be interviewing his guest, Dennis DeMay. Dennis is a local area private investigator, a gumshoe, and he's got a lot of interesting stories. It should be a good show. And we do wind up using him, a lot of attorneys do, just to do background checks on certain people and find information on people like a lot of private detectives, Dennis is a retired law enforcement person, I'll say, because he held a lot of different titles during his career. So it should be a good show. Again, that's January 31st, 10 to 11 a.m., and everybody knows the format. It's still a call-in show, so if you think of any good questions for a private detective, that would be a great day to call in and ask them. Pat, we can piggyback a little bit off of our prior conversation, because I think when you boil it down, what the audience is really going to want to know is, well, if I do decide to go with Medicare, and I'm okay with my choice being pretty drastically limited, what's covered, what's not covered? Because that could actually play a role in deciding whether or not they want to go the Medicare route or not. And you know, what's covered, what's not covered? What are some of the common questions you get in terms of specific items that you sell? Maybe give us examples of where you wind up sending people elsewhere versus what people wind up buying from you a lot. Give me a breakdown.
Sure. Obviously, what I've had to do because of all the changes that have come down the road over the past few years is I've had to really focus on basically covering or providing products that aren't covered under Medicare. That's kind of where I've kind of moved to. I basically still cover a lot of different products under Medicare. Like, for instance, I have a lot of patients that get urological products from mm-hmm. me now. That would be catheters. That would be the intermittent catheters, external catheters, leg bags, those type of products. Mm-hmm. I also still cover ostomy products. Okay, I still cover diabetic products. Also orthopedic products, too. I'm sure a lot of people see commercials every day for all these different orthopedic products on TV. Essentially, in order to be covered under Medicare, it has to have some type of metal in it. That's basically the kind of the defining characteristic of what's covered under Medicare, what's not.
Okay.
So like the metal cock-up wrist splints that so you can't bend your hand at night, or a hinged knee brace, those are covered under Medicare. Anything with metal in a back brace is covered, but anything that's slip-on is not.
So if it's okay. A slip-on neoprene, that's out of – okay.
That's not a covered item under Medicare. Doctor could write 10 prescriptions, wouldn't make any difference.
Okay.
Okay. Basically, most bath safety products are not covered under Medicare. Now, for the audience, don't try to put any type of logic into this whatsoever, because if you try to add logic to what's covered and what's not covered, you will drive yourself crazy. There's also, I do a lot of compression therapy, which are the stockings. Now, they're terrific products. They do a good job for what they're intended for, but I always like to make people laugh because it's like, now, here's a product that nobody would actually utilize unless you have a medical reason for it.
Got to have a healthcare need.
Absolutely. And, of course, you know, so logic would dictate, well, if it's a medical reason, that should be something covered by Medicare, but it is not. And it's just one of those strange things. And yet you can come into my store with a prescription for a heating pad, you know, and we're not talking about these 1995 heating pads. I'm talking about what's called a thermophore, which is a very, very nice product that is actually produces its own moisture and shockingly enough, is still made in the USA, which I always find really exciting. There's very few things in my store that are still made in the USA anymore. Sure. So you can actually walk in with a prescription for that and walk out with a very nice product. And obviously, there has to be a diagnosis for it. Arthritis is probably the most common one.
Okay.
Let's see. So there's a lot of other products that you can actually come in and purchase from me, but you would probably not want to get them through me because Medicare may cover these items. Like, for instance, we're talking about like the scooters, the electric scooters.
Right.
If you've noticed, you don't see as many commercials on TV about that anymore.
It used to be on all the time.
All the time, yeah. Right. And, so basically the government's really shut that down, to say the least. So now in order to get some type of power mobility product, whether you're talking about electric wheelchair or electric scooter, it's like an act of Congress just trying to get that covered. The paperwork is unbelievable. But I try to explain to people now, you could come in and purchase one of those in my store for like $799. Yeah, no paperwork, no prescription, no nothing. You know, if it's just something that you want to be able to utilize to be able to get out when the weather gets nice, that's fine. But to actually meet the criteria that Medicare requires for most of these products, even something as simple as a standard wheelchair, you have to understand that their criteria is for use in the home. They don't care that you want to go outside or that you need to go to the doctor's office and so forth.
The grocery
store. It, like I said, the criteria now has gotten really, really restrained because of what's happened in the past where everybody and their brother was getting a $1,000 scooter and zipping around just to be able to go down the block.
Right.
There was no medical reason behind it, and that's why you don't see them on TV anymore.
Right.
These are the things that I try to explain to people as I go along throughout my day. But it's really amazing. There's so many people that if you walk in my store, you're not eligible because you actually ambulated into my store. So that you don't actually meet the criteria for these power mobility products. You know, but of course that's what everybody wants. You know, I think that's another thing I need to say too. I think healthcare is moving towards giving you what you need, not necessarily what you want.
Right.
You know, and if you want something, again, we supposedly still live in America, you can purchase anything
it.
You want. Right.
Right.
Absolutely. It's still available to you to purchase. But if you want somebody else to pay for it, you're going to have to follow their tune.
Right. And I would assume that there's probably circumstances where, because you give a choice, you know, in what can be purchased and theoretically in any particular product category, you might be able to give people a couple of options as to what they might want, features, and so forth. And under Medicare, there's going to be an amount that's covered, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's it. And you might wind up not that different price point-wise in the long run.
Right. I think a perfect example is a product like a nebulizer. Now, a nebulizer is a device, basically, that you utilize a liquid medication. It's usually for respiratory problems. Mm-hmm. Now, Medicare will cover a nebulizer for you, but it happens to be under that competitive bidding thing, so you have to call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Right.
But if you come into my store and you just purchase one, it's only $45. You know, so you purchase it, you own it, you don't have to rent it for 13 months. When it's rented over 13-month period, I think Medicare ends up paying at least a couple hundred dollars for it, you know, over that time period. But it's ridiculous because, again, most of the time it's a short-term need. You know, hopefully it's just something where you had bronchitis or, you know, some type of a pulmonary problem and you know, it's
clears up,
right, yeah. Exactly. So, you know, again, there's your option. It's like rather than going through Medicare, you know, just go in and purchase one. It's very simple. It's really the same with a lot of things with the walkers, for instance. If you were in the hospital and you got a walker, and I'm talking about like the folding aluminum type of walker, and, you know, for whatever your specific diagnosis was at that time, and then a year later you decide, well, hey, I really need one that has a seat on it. Well, you have to wait 5 years before you can get another one covered under Medicare. So you're basically in a position where it's like, well, if you want one, you have to go purchase it. And they're only $99. I mean, it's not like it's a $500 item.
Right. And that's a good point, because in as much as the legislation, so to speak, limits your choices, it only limits it if you want Medicare to pay for it.
Right.
And you still have all the options in the world as long as you're willing to, you know, to shell out for it. And I think the point is that shelling out for it is not always quite as expensive as people think.
Right.
Because once you go into the private pay world, you have options.
Well, again, too, you also have to understand that with this competitive bidding, when there's certain piece of equipment, you get the most basic piece.
Right.
That's it. You know, like, for instance, with a hospital bed, you're only going to get a semi-electric hospital bed under Medicare, which means that the head goes up and down and the foot goes down up and down electrically. But if you want to raise the entire bed, you got this big hand crank. You know, now for, you know, our 80-year-old listening audience there, that's difficult to do, you know. And again, if it's a short-term thing, you know, I provide full electric hospital beds, and it's only $125 a month, and hopefully you'd only need it for a short period of time.
Right, right. I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Inside the Law on 1160 WOBM AM in Ocean County and 1310 AM in Monmouth County, as well as all over the world at WOBMAM.com. We are going inside the law today on Medicare and what it covers when it comes to in-home care, medical devices, and so forth. We're talking with Pat Fratangelo from Rand Surgical in Toms River, New Jersey, located at 1843 Hooper Ave, have been around since 1959 and have been owned in Pat's family since 1983. If you have any questions for us and you don't feel like calling in at 732-505-1160, there are other ways to get in touch with us. I've given Pat's phone number. I'm going to give it again, 732-255-3211. I've mentioned our website, novilaw.com, and our email address, info@novilaw.com. I also want to mention that Novi & Associates, we send out newsletters, e-newsletters, so it's not junk mail. It comes in your email, and it doesn't, you know, waste a tree or anything like that. And we do that on a periodic basis. It's not very often, so we're not flooding people every day with emails. Just once in a while, when something comes up that we think that our audience, which is comprised of all sorts of different people, clients, parents of clients, children of clients, radio show listeners, friends, accountants, bankers, people that we work with and refer business back and forth with, and it's nice because it's a free way to stay up to date with a few things. And you don't have to read everything we send you word for word. You can just glance over and say, oh, this is actually pertinent to me, and then click on it and read the full article or rundown on what we're talking about. So if you're interested in signing up for our e-newsletter, we encourage you to visit our website and let us know that. You can also find us on Facebook if you search for Novi and Associates. And it's a great way, a newer thing that we're doing, and a great way to stay up to date without having to do anything proactive, because it just winds up coming into your inbox every once in a while. And you can always opt out if you decide that it's not pertinent to you after a while. So I just wanted to plug that, because I've had a lot of good feedback from clients on it, because it makes it easier for them to keep in touch without having to make the trip to our office to sit down and talk to an attorney. And people always think that that's going to cost them so much money, although we do offer, you know, 1 hour free consultations. So keep that in mind as well. So, Pat, you give us a little bit of an overview. I want to talk about some specific products, because this is the area that when what you do intersects with what I do, you know, things that come up because kids or spouse is providing care will ask me, well, you know, can I get an electronic chairlift for the stairs? And I don't really know. I mean, I'd have to send them to you with that question and say, it sounds like a good idea, but I don't know where you get it. I don't know if Medicare helps pay for it. I don't know how they work. I don't know who installs it. So give me an idea, for example, on chairlifts. How does that work?
Well, essentially, Medicare does not cover chairlifts. That's basically a cash item. You know, if you have a situation in your home where you have stairs, you know, it's a terrific product, no doubt about it. It certainly keeps you in the home. And that's kind of what a lot of the focus is these days, is to keep people in their homes.
Sure.
You know, it's still the cheapest way to take care of somebody medically, mm-hmm. rather than hospital or a nursing home or something along those lines.
And a big area of overlap between what we do, because part of the reason people go through the process of, you know, signing medical powers of attorney and signing financial powers of attorney and all those kind of things is so towards the end of being able to stay in their house with somebody assisting them.
Right.
You know, kind of when you sign a contract for a nursing home, you're signing up for somebody to assist you. So those documents that we help clients draft are the home side, home care side of the same thing. But once you have that set up, well, how do you go and make the home safe? So
right,
I'm sorry,
right.
I interrupted you. But
No, not at all.
But I think that's a good area of overlap and a good point to make, and chairlifts being a good...
I think it's huge, especially for the kids. You know, I mean, you know, when the parents get up into, you know, well into their 80s and 90s, you know, though they may still be mentally capable, you know, physically you start to break down. I mean, mm-hmm. you have a 90-year-old body. Let's face it. I mean, you've never been this age in your whole life, so,
sure.
you know, who knew? But, yeah, I mean, what you want to try and do, obviously, is make the home as user-friendly as possible. One thing I always try to point out to people is, you know, especially those that have that big furniture, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're going to be in a wheelchair or you're going to need to use a walker to get through your house, you need to decide what to get out of the way.
Right.
You know, that's a big thing, too, is, you know, making the house a little more user-friendly. It drives me crazy with some of the senior developments I've been in. Now, you built these houses with seniors in mind, but it never seemed to play into the home builders that, you know, somebody might have to get into the bathroom with a walker, and those doors just don't allow it.
You know,
it drives me crazy. I mean, it like I said, you would think that they would have thought of that ahead of time, but that just never seems to be. So a lot of time you have to, you know, adjust the house to your need.
Sure.
You know, it depends on what it is. You
retrofit.
Know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you talk about the electric chair lifts. You know, there's also another product that I do a lot of, which is the electric seat lift chairs.
Okay.
Okay, now these are the products that end up bringing you to a standing position and putting you into a reclining position. And they're terrific products, especially, again, for the caretakers trying to help the patient. Rather than trying to drag them up off a couch and hurting themselves.
Throw their back out, dislocating
these products,
their arm.
I mean, in most cases, people end up sleeping in them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about how that works with Medicare, because Medicare does cover a portion of these chairs. Now,
okay.
regardless of whether you purchased an $800 chair or a $1,200 chair or anything in between, the most you get back between Medicare and your secondary, if you qualify, because they can always say no, mm-hmm. is about $350.
Okay.
So basically, Medicare covers 80% of the $350, and your secondary picks up the 20%. Now, again, you're only eligible for these products under certain circumstances. So, you know, I don't want everybody running out saying, oh, I get a seat lift chair and you know, I demand that money back. You
mm-hmm.
know, that's not going to happen that way. A lot of things can come into play that actually preclude you from getting that. For
mm-hmm.
instance, if Medicare is already paying for an electric wheelchair or an assisted walking device, then you're not eligible. You know,
okay.
so there's a lot of things that come into play with that. But, you know, in the long run, though, it's a terrific product. Most people end up sleeping in them.
Okay.
You know, so it actually serves that purpose as well.
And this is, I don't know if I've seen the product you're talking about. This is a stationary chair.
It's sort of like
people.
A Lazy Boy, but it's electric.
That's what I was envisioning,
right.
like the world's coolest, most robotic Lazy Boy. Okay.
And, of course, you know, there's all kinds of bells and whistles with them. They come with heat and massage. You know, some of them, most of them, there's two different types. You have a two position and a three position. The two position basically means that as the person is reclining and the feet are coming up, it's all one motion. Then you have the three position where the feet can come up and the back works independently.
Okay.
So if somebody wants to be sitting with their feet up and they want their back to be vertical, that's what these chairs are for. And, of course, those are the more expensive chairs.
Sure.
You know?
But it doesn't matter what options you get. If you qualify
right.
on the Medicare side, they're only going to cover the $350.
No matter what the cost, right. That is absolutely correct.
So it just shows you that you know, it might not be worth it to go through the Medicare rigmarole if you're going to have only the first 350 covered, and then it limits your choices in terms of options and so forth.
Well, the thing is, with as far as going through Medicare, it doesn't hurt because the worst they can do is say no. You know, so
that's,
I mean,
true.
It's not a bad thing to bring me the prescription because I'm the one that has to go through all the paperwork, and then the doctor has to fill out 87,000 forms, and
right.
You know, hopefully we go back and forth, and somewhere down the road you receive a check. But I always try to warn people: there's no guarantee of that.
Okay. I mean, that's a good, interesting product for everybody out there to know, because there are things, you know, it is the medical world. There are developments that occur. There are products that people don't know are available, especially if you haven't talked to somebody like Pat, which is why when Pat says he's transitioning almost to a concierge type, you know, service model, I think that's what he means. He can let people know about this, let you know what your options are. Obviously, he's extremely knowledgeable and has navigated these things, whereas, you know, the end user, the seniors out there, the people who need them, people with disabilities and so forth, especially if it's a newer medical issue that they're facing, they may never have gone through these things, and they didn't know that, you know, the electrical, what do you call them? Say the name again.
Electric seat lift chair.
Right.
I was going to say, I always find it fascinating over the years how many of these products, and it doesn't matter what we're talking about here, were actually developed by family members that had a specific need. You know, necessity,
right,
was the mother of invention,
sure,
whether they had to be able to transfer somebody from a bed to a chair or, mm-hmm, you know, whatever it is. It really amazes me how that's where most of these products came from.
Well, it sounds like a very cool product, almost given how invested I am in the Ohio State football games and Giants games that I watch. Almost sometimes I feel like I can't stand up at the end. I like one with a little heat and massage that could stand me up and get me to bed after a tough loss or a big win. But really, not to make light of it, it is a cool, you know, cool thing that that these things are available. And I tell a lot of clients, and this is a good show to think about it, to take this under your belt and think about it. You know, people say they get very pessimistic when it comes to some of this stuff. The paperwork that's involved, the reduction in choices, the headache that's created when politicians meddle into our you know, personal life, our medical life. But the one thing you should always step back and try to, you know, maybe look at the glass half full sort of, is that if you had to pick one date and time to live and have a problem getting in and out of a chair or up and down stairs or around your house or, you know, to the grocery store and back in terms of mobility, in terms of medical diagnosis, you'd probably pick today,
mm-hmm,
because the treatments are the best. The availability of products is the best. You know, if you go back 100 years ago, you didn't have, you know, any of this stuff, really.
The same is true for the pharmacy world. I've certainly seen that, yep, over 25 years where, you know, there's people walking around that normally wouldn't have been walking around 25 years ago.
That's right. So it's complicated to sometimes work through the process of finding out, you know, what it's going to cost and what's available. But once you figure it out, once you work through it, it's worth it because of the benefit it does provide. And luckily there are people like Pat out there who've been through it before and can help you. And I want to just, you know, emphasize that don't hesitate to reach out in any way if you're in these positions to people like myself, people like Pat who've been through this over and over again. Because the most frequent thing I hear, and Pat, maybe you do too, from my clients, from my customers, is I would never have known this if I hadn't talked to you.
Right, or they come to me after it's too late. Yeah, I see that all the time. It's very frustrating. I mean, let's face it, when you're put into the hospital, you have a medical emergency, the family is, everybody's chaotic, everybody's excited, you know. So, you know, there are situations where people are taken advantage of. I've seen that 100 times, and of course they come to me after the fact, and there's really not much I can do about it. So I try to get out there as much as possible and educate people and let them know, here's what could happen, you know. So as a matter of fact, I spoke last night in Leisure Knoll at the Italian American Club. They, mm-hmm, were a terrific group of people, and I could see that I was scaring some people by trying to let them know what's happening and what I think is going to happen down the road here, you know. And of course, the senior population, they don't want change.
Right.
Is not a happy thing for them.
Not just seniors, anybody. That's a human condition. Change, resisting change is always the default.
You know, and again, it's just something that, like I said, I'm not trying to scare them, but to educate them, let them know here's what's coming down the pike, so you need to be prepared for that,
mm-hmm,
you know. But of course, you know, you certainly can't in a lot of situations. corporations, there's just no way to do that. But, right. yeah, reaching out to people that do know, you know, and asking questions, that is definitely the first thing you should be doing.
Yeah, and also don't go by hearsay.
Oh, yeah.
Just because your neighbor said something, just because your sister said something, you know, you might love your neighbor, you might love your sister, but that doesn't mean they got it 100% right.
I want to know who they are.
Right.
Because I want to talk to them, let
right.
me tell you. Whoever they are that told these people this, I want to meet these people. You know, I always love that comment.
And I was guessing that you got it. You get that like I get it. And it's interesting that we can do, you know, things that are so different, but because we overlap in the worlds and the people that we supply and their needs, it's you get the same repetitive things being told to you. Well, my sister said this. that they told me I couldn't do that. Well, who's they? Because we do this all the time. So let me tell you how it really is.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And what I find, and I want to emphasize this to our listeners here as we get to the last few minutes of the show, is that it can be very uplifting, actually, to actually get some information and say, oh, it's not as bad as I thought it was. Or you feel like, you know, all the government is doing is restricting you. And then all of a sudden somebody makes you realize, well, that's only if you want to stay inside Medicare. You don't have to stay inside Medicare. And it's only going to cost you whatever, 60 mm-hmm. bucks, 90 bucks to all of a sudden have a world of options outside of what.
It's empowering.
Exactly.
Yep.
Empowering is
yep.
the right word. So
mm-hmm.
I like to point that out because I think there's a lot of misinformation out there when it comes to any good or service or area where you get involved with government regulations. It's they change so frequently. They to some degree vary from state to state on some level at least. So
especially, you know, medical, yeah.
Yep, and legal too for that
mm-hmm.
matter.
Yes,
you know,
yes, quite.
You cross the Hudson or you cross the Delaware River and you might have a whole, totally different answer in that other state. So, all right, we've got a little bit over a minute left, Pat. Anything I didn't cover? Anything you want to let the audience know?
Well, yeah, actually, I would like to say a couple of things here. One thing that I find very instructive mm-hmm. is going out into the different senior communities and speaking at their different clubs.
Absolutely.
That's a huge way for me to get the word out to people and to get to a broader audience and really, you know, I like being able to do a question and answer
yep.
Because then obviously all of these questions come out and all of the, well, my sister said things.
Your misinformation,
you know,
it gives you a chance to dispel
right.
the myths.
So I'd like to invite people to contact me to come and speak in their different communities. Now, basically, I'm in Ocean County and I try to focus on that. I do business in Monmouth County, mm-hmm. but for the most part, I'm a pretty local guy and, mm-hmm. you know, and I try to stay local. So, you know, for those people out there that are listening that would like me to come out and speak at their different meetings, please call my store. I'm a pretty easy guy to get a hold of. If I'm not there, it's either going to be my sister or my daughter. This is a family operation.
Family operation. So, mm-hmm. and that goes for Novi and Associates as well. We maybe even could piggyback on each other and do a
right.
speaking engagement together.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out there and you are, you know, a member of a board or a president of a club, you know, or a church group or a synagogue or a temple group, you know, any of the above, and you're trying to fill programming for your group, something that might be pertinent to the people in your group, don't hesitate to get in touch with either Novi and Associates or Rand Surgical, because it's a great way for us to dispel some of those myths, to you know, spread information that on things that we deal with every day that might not be that well understood by, you know, Joe Main Street, so to
speak.
Yeah,
very much so. Yeah. A lot of misinformation out there.
Absolutely. And I guess that's it, Pat. Thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate you taking time out of your Saturday morning. It's interesting, you know, out there how certain seemingly separate industries can overlap so frequently.
Very much so. Yeah, thank you kindly for having me here today.
So I just want to wish everybody a happy Martin Luther King weekend. Those of you that have Monday off, I really hope that you enjoy it. It's a beautiful day today, although I think there's some rain in the forecast for tomorrow. It's been, you know, a pleasure as always having you listen. And if you missed any portions of today's show, please make sure you check out novilaw.com to be able to hear a repeat and a download of the rest of the show. It's been a pleasure, Pat, and hopefully we can have you on again in the future if and when we know what changes come from the ACA.
Oh, I'd be happy to come on, absolutely.
Thanks for listening, New Jersey. You stay classy, and thanks for stopping by.